Frost Nixon. Written and read by David Frost.
Mr. President, to try and review your account of Watergate in one program is a daunting task, but we'll press first of all through the sort of factual record and the sequence of events as concisely as we can to begin with.
I think that the best procedure would be for us to do exactly what you're going to do in this program, to go through the whole record so that our viewers will have an opportunity to know what we are talking about, so that in effect, they, as they listen, will be able to hear the facts and make up their own minds. I'll express my own opinion. They may have a different opinion. You may have a different opinion. But that is really the best way to do it, rather than to preclude it in advance and maybe prejudice their viewpoint.
I'm very happy to do that, because I think the only way really to examine all of these events is on a blow-by-blow account of what occurred.
Those were my first words in what was to become the historic Watergate confrontation with Richard Nixon. The first and last time Nixon's account would be tested. But let's begin at the beginning. On the night of the 17th of June 1972, a security guard at the plush Watergate office and apartment complex alerted the Washington, D.C. police that burglars had entered the building and were apparently still on the premises. Responding quickly, the police encountered five men in the offices of the Democratic National Committee. They had come to repair a listening device placed weeks earlier on the phone of DNC National Chairman Larry O'Brien. A second bug had been installed on the phone of senior campaign official Spencer Oliver. What the police did not know, and what it would take weeks of investigation for them to find out, was that the five burglars, four of them Cuban veterans of CIA operations, were being directed from a room at the Howard Johnson Hotel across the street by a senior official of the Nixon re-election campaign, G. Gordon Liddy, and a White House consultant and career CIA veteran, E. Howard Hunt. Almost immediately, the police and the FBI began trying to learn who had been involved in planning the break-in, while the White House began trying to prevent them from finding out. In short, the White House went into a cover-up mode with the clear impending intent of obstructing justice. Although Watergate is only a part of this book, it's a very important part, and so I thought, therefore, that as an introduction to younger listeners and a reminder to older listeners, it might be helpful at this stage just to summarise the salient facts before we get underway. From the moment in March 1973, when one of the five Watergate intruders disclosed in a letter to the presiding trial judge that perjury had been committed to shield the criminal involvement of more senior officials of the Nixon administration, until 9 August 1974, when Nixon resigned the presidency in disgrace, Watergate became a U.S. cause célèbre and indeed a national obsession as well. Many U.S. friends around the world thought the country had taken leave of its senses. How could it show such disdain for the man who had brought peace with honor in Vietnam, détente and arms control agreements with the Soviet Union, and a big start towards normal relations with the People's Republic of China? What was Watergate?